thanks so much for coming on. It is an honor to have someone who is both an artist and like a well-acclaimed artist, from what I can tell, some awesome songs in there. And also like really with your headspace in Web3 and crypto and all of these things, NFTs and stuff like that. So we'd love to rack your brain just for half an hour here if we can.
Of course.
So, okay, my favorite song, went through and listened to a bunch of your songs. My favorite song that you have on there is a song called Ghost. It's so good. Come on, actually, man. So good. Look, I added it to my personal album, like my personal playlist. It's so good. I don't know. Is that one of your favorites? Where does that sit for you?
No, so I'll go deep. I'll go deep into it. So that's with an artist that I worked with back in the day and still kind of work with him now, Teflon Sega. Mm. And he's like an anonymous artist. You know, he doesn't show his face. He now lives in the metaverse. But before, when we started the whole thing, it was just like kind of like the Gorillaz inspired type of thing.
Yeah,
so the first like song that we ever did together was called Sinner. And then we did this song Beretta Lake with St. John and Teflon Sega. And I was just a producer on it. So that sound is like nostalgic for me, you know, that stuff that I do with him. So I like Ghost a lot.
I think clearly your biggest song on there, if we're talking streams wise, is a song called Bam Bam. I noticed that you'd release it on a couple of albums. And then in 2020, I think it was remixed by a guy named Lucky Luke, who has the song, for those who aren't aware, which goes, Cooler Than Me. So it's like, you got your designer shades. That song. Like, that's a huge song, right? We're talking a big deal. And he remixed your song, right? How did that come about? Like, as an independent artist, that's a pretty massive leap to achieve, I suppose, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, they recognize the good song. So I'll be honest, I'll be transparent, you know. So I had this song, right? And I told my boy, I said, bro, we need a remix for this. Like, me and Angie, we need something to blow it up. He just said something out of nowhere. He said, okay, I'm going to get the Russians. And I said, what is the Russians? What are you talking about, bro? Like, what are you talking about? He said, I know this guy named Lucky Luke. You know, and he's, you know, doing some really dope stuff. I said, okay, get the Russians, let's go. But long story short, you know, I found out they're not Russian, you know, they're from Lithuania. And then you know, they love the song and they were like, yeah, let's do a remix. So we did like a partnership with those guys, and yeah, super, like they really did a dope job on that remix.
No, it's really good to get that that kind of level of exposure. And one thing that I noticed, so you've got over 200,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. You've got a few songs over 3 million streams. Have you kind of leveraged your existing fan base over on Spotify to kind of come over to your NFT projects? Or are you going after a completely different, like a new fan base?
Yeah. I would say it's a new fan base. Like, I tried to do that where I was bringing people over from, like, you know, Instagram and stuff like that over to what I was doing in Web3. But it was extremely hard. So what I try to do now is just, I talk to people who are willing to receive this information. And then from the people who are over in the Web2 audience, when they naturally want to come over and see what I'm doing, they'll get curious and they'll ask. But like recently with some of these NFT platforms that I've been utilizing, we have kind of been like combining the two, whereas, you know, I could be talking to this Web3 audience and, you know, dropping this NFT, but then now, you know, they're entitled to the Web2 streaming royalties. And that, you know, the Web2 streaming and, you know, the 3 million, 4 million streams, that gives me the clout. And then, you know, it's the buy-in from the Web3 audience, but it's still hard to bring in people who are like streaming the music, you know, already over into the NFT stuff that I'm doing.
That's a really interesting distinction. We actually chatted to a guy recently named Dill. I think he goes by Famous Dill.
Yeah.
And he's in the space. And he said the same thing. I guess I wrongly made the assumption that, we'll just be like leveraging our current fan base. But what you're saying is so true. It seems to be across the board. It's a whole new fan base. It's a whole new world, which is cool. Just one drop that you were mentioning, actually mentioned to me this week, is one coming out next month on SoundXYZ. Now, I had a look. There's not a whole bunch on there about it. Could you talk us through what that is, what that looks like, what people could expect being a part of it?
So I'm going to tell you about two drops that are coming on, because this is going to be the biggest drops in the world.
Dang.
So, no, I'm joking. So with sound,
no, don't joke. This is legit, people. This is legit.
No, that's good.
Bro, I bought it.
He said, "Wow, oh my God, what is this one?" But with the sound drop, it's actually pretty cool. Like, it's a cool story. I remember when sound first came around, and you know, I wanted to get onto the platform, but you know, it just didn't work out that way. And I continued to do what I was doing, and just building my community, and you know, doing innovative stuff. And then they came around, I think last week, and they said, you know, "Harrison, you know, we want to have you on the latest season." And I was like, "Oh, this is great. Let's do it." So the song that I actually have prepared for it is something that I did with a Stockholm-based artist too. Amazing Gambian. He's from Gambia, but he's also from Sweden. And his voice is just crazy. Like, we have this song that we did together, and it's sampling like a Persian song. And it's just like super hard. Like, it's a super hard record. So with that song, I guess what I'm planning to do is just like, you know, additions of 40 at 0.1 ETH. And, you know, we're going to have fun with it. You know, that one is just going to be, you know, fun, continuously building. And I'm excited for that because, you know, sound does a great job in this space. But yeah, the other one that I'm super, super excited about is a drop that I'm doing, because I'm trying to do, it's called a PFM project, Profile Music Project. And what I want to do is pretty much have the same concept as the PFP project, but I wanted to think about how can music NFTs be scaled out to a larger scale, similar that to the way that graphic artists and 2D artists have been able to do with like Bored Apes and things of the like. And I know there's been other artists who have been tapping into this, music artists been tapping into this, but this one I'm really, really excited about, because what I'm going to be doing is 1,000 editions of one song, and each song is going to have a different production on it. So it'll be the same song, but a different instrumental production by 1,000 different versions of one song. And I'm producing all 1,000 of the versions. Hopefully it's not going to be generative music. It's not going to be like an AI app, you know, automatically doing it. I'm going to do it manually. So that's going to be super fun. And when people mint, they're just going to be generated a random song, a random version of that one song, also with a unique cover art with it as well. And we're going to go and see how that works, man. See how it plays out.
Yeah. Any of those going to be released on like Spotify or anything like that on DSPs? Yeah. Or is it just?
We're going to do it on DSPs. So there's one main version that we all love that's going to be on DSPs. And then we're going to let the vote, the collectors do a vote on Snapshot and see which other two versions that they want to have on Spotify as well, so that they can have maybe their song that they collected on DSPs also.
Damn. No, that's great. So we talked to Lenny, who is the co-founder of Logcast, on one of our previous episodes, and that sounds like a really cool use case, because basically on each profile, it's sort of similar to an app which lets you just kind of create audio, so different creators just kind of share their thoughts, and it kind of makes a whole bunch of logs basically. And on those logs, as you go into someone's profile, you get this kind of audio, this little audio trailer, which plays, which is kind of like an introduction for that person. So it sounds like a really cool use case to kind of take that, take that unique PFM, as you said, and kind of import that as your audio trailer to kind of some of these platforms. And, and if you've got multiple social media platforms that are kind of starting to use audio more, it seems like something where you could kind of take that idea. So I really love that idea. That's really cool. So talking about your first project, or like the dollar sign first. So basically, I was looking at the process of that of getting involved in that basically, and the process looks like, so you needed 1,000 first tokens to kind of grant you access originally. Then it looks like it goes to Mintgate, which is like a service which gets you through, allows you to connect your wallet through like a QR code. Then you verify, and then basically you get access to this catalog where you can actually use any of the collection of audio NFTs from your catalog that you've personally produced. And basically you can download anything from that collection and create your own audio NFTs. And then you just give credit for it. And it's kind of like a whole collection there that you've got, of your kind of produced music. Is that the right process? Are the people allowed to use this just samples of the sounds, or are they using the whole sound as their audio behind their NFT?
They're using the whole sound behind the audio of their NFT. Like, I've had a couple people, or you know, a nice group of people who utilize the vault. So it's first audio, and the whole concept was to just like give back to my community, people in the first community, and allow them to, like, you know, if they don't make their own music and they want to have like that audio component to their NFTs, here you go. Like, you don't need to go out to any of these other Web2 platforms. You know, I have a whole bunch of music that rappers or artists don't use, so I'm like, why not put it in a vault here, lock it up, you know, with some, you know, 1000 first, and you can use it as much as you want, put it in your NFTs, and they just if they want to credit me, some people credit me, you know, I don't police it so much. But I don't take anything from them, they just do their thing with it, man. Just got to hold 1000 first tokens.
Gotcha. Okay, so it's sort of a bit more like a subscription model, kind of like you don't pay for it every time you use it. And Mm-mm. So is that a little bit like, is it called BeatStar that originally had a similar, maybe like that might have been like the Web 2 version of this maybe. And mm-hmm. if that's the case, could these people also use it to, like, you know, I could put a beat and then put some lyrics on it and then release it on a DSP. Is there an issue with that in this sort of situation?
Yeah, there's an issue with that because this is okay. only like, so First Audio is only for the use of NFTs, audio NFTs.
Gotcha.
So I think I mentioned that on the website as well. Like the plan was, you know, so I'm also published by Sony, and I was having a couple different talks with my director about, you know, scaling this out because Sony now owns BeatStar, and how could we make First Audio like the Web3 version of BeatStar. So right now it's in a pause, like V2 and V3, you know, stage of First Audio is at a pause. And right now it's like, I look at it as a vault. It's just a vault right now.
Okay.
So that's the concept of it, is a vault, but we do want to scale it out to like a marketplace. And hopefully in the future, that is what I do.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, no, I like that idea. That's really nice. So another thing that we saw that you were doing was some decentralized wearables in the first collection, which people can buy with Polygon. And you kind of go into the Decentraland, into the metaverse area. And then you've also had like a concert, which was like a decentralized concert. So could you talk about the relationship with Decentraland? How's that gone?
Man, it's amazing. No, it's amazing. Those are my guys. Like I love Decentraland. I love Decentraland. So the two metaverses that I was introduced to in the beginning was Decentraland and CryptoVoxels. I like CryptoVoxels because, you know, you can use it on your this is an old phone, man, but you know, it is what it is. But people always point it out. But you can use CryptoVoxels on your phone. Like, you can literally be in the metaverse via your phone, but the graphical component isn't as good. But Decentraland, I love the graphical component. So I think I partnered up with them like in 2019, and before it was just me, you know, doing pre-recorded DJ sets, and they were streaming it into the metaverse or into Decentraland, and that was cool and everything. But I wanted to take it a step further. And as I was starting to get into, you know, NFTs, I was like, okay, you know, if I can't do exhibitions in real life, let me try to do exhibitions or launch parties, you know, in Decentraland. So that's what I would do. Like the day I was minting a piece, me and another artist that I would collaborate with, we would be in Decentraland's like official gallery, and we would do like the live auctions there and, you know, take bids right there live and as it was being displayed in Decentraland's, you know, art gallery, which was like super amazing. So we were doing that. And then they asked me to do like their first festival with like Paris Hilton, Deadmau5, you know, all those guys. It was really great. Wow. I did that. And that was cool. I think it was like over 1,000 people, you know, at one point, you know, tuning in, you know, to my set. And it's like, I've been on tour before, but I never had like 1,000 people on me, like eyes on me at once before. It was probably maybe a couple hundred, maybe 200. So it was like a cool experience, even though it wasn't like in real life, it still felt real. And like, you know, people were enjoying something at one time. So I was doing that. And then I was just thinking, you know, what else could I do? Like, I have a certain style about me. I have a certain brand, and, you know, I want other people to have that certain style in Decentraland. So I partnered up with a friend of mine, Obel, and really great, you know, wearable designer. But we did something where, you know, I usually wear like a leather jacket, and I usually wear like these dad shoes. So I said, you know, let's do something where we have like a Harrison Ford head, you know. Let's do, you know, the leather jacket, and let's do the dad shoes. And we did that, you know, and it's just like an extension of my brand, you know, in the metaverse. And, you know, people walk around with my head on when I do, like, you know, when I'm performing in Decentraland. Some people still enjoy, like, the leather jacket wearing that. So it's like my way of expressing myself at somewhat of a lower cost, you know, because some of these things can cost a lot to produce, you know, in real life. But yeah, we're still working on more collections, and probably at the end of this year or next year, I'll do like another wearable drop.
That's so cool. In regards to, I guess, on that topic of metaverse, we've chatted to a few artists about this, about where they think it could go. I guess for you, what could you imagine the future metaverse situations could look like? Like, even, I know we talk a lot about concerts and stuff like that. You mentioned the festival, which is really cool. But even just everyday listening of maybe a collection that you own, like, and your interaction with other people, like, could you paint a picture at all as to how you could imagine it looking in the future and how you'd maybe use that?
Yeah, I'm a little bit biased, so I focus mostly on music. Like, I look at it from, like, a musical aspect. And for me, where I wanted to go, and maybe Roblox is doing this with Spotify already. I think something was announced a couple months ago. But for me, I wanted to feel, you know how, like, in a video game, you're playing FIFA or Madden or NBA 2K, and you can choose the music that you're listening to as you're playing the game. Or when you're playing, like, Call of Duty and you're, like, really getting into it and, like, the music is playing and you're interacting in the game. Like, for me, I want it to be I see it where, you know, people can take their NFTs, their music NFTs that they own, and be able to stream that in the metaverse. So as they're at casino nights or as they're just walking around, now they can choose the soundtrack that they want to have, you know, that they own, that's in their collection or maybe in somebody else's collection, and kind of like walk around in Decentraland and, you know, mine for new tokens, be at, you know, events and just like have the music streaming at the same time, you know, as they're interacting. But I also look at like every single thing in the metaverse as an asset, hopefully. Yep. So you can interact with it. Everything that you see, from the trees to obviously you can do it with the artwork, but just every single thing, what people are wearing, and you can place a bid on that or you can have it, and, you know, like all these things like that, man. But I haven't really tapped into it too much from the, what is it, like the virtual side? Yeah, the VR goggles, stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't really tapped into it that much. Yeah, but neither. Yeah. It's a bit much, you know, sometimes. So.
That's true. And it makes me feel a little bit like motion sick as well, putting the goggles on, just personally.
We did use it for that race car game, though, once. We were at a thing, Nathan and I, and we had like a race car game, and you could kind of look around and see the whole car and everything. So that was kind of cool. But no, I haven't used it for a Decentraland thing either. So one thing that I saw was that the project has its own treasury, which is a really cool thing to say. And basically it had like this allocated amount of 100,000 first to be on this Uniswap liquidity pool. So it would swap first and ETH, and basically that would provide that liquidity there so that people could kind of trade it freely, and basically there's a big pool so that if someone wants to buy and someone wants to sell, you know, you actually have a market there that's already kind of made. So in terms of that, I saw that you could lock up in December last year. I also saw that in March there were kind of a few 90-day periods where you could lock in. Was that a good idea? Did the fans take to that, or would it have been better to do just like to do that and not let the fans participate, or did the community get around it and actually jump on board? How did it happen?
Yes. So when I started the social token, like, it was in 2019, you know, so when I started first, it's called First, and then the whole name is Harrison First. And when I got into it, I really didn't know much about anything Web3. Like, that was my first introduction to anything Web3, was social token. So that was my entry point there. So by the time I got started, I think I was playing catch up every time, like, you know, every week, every month, you know, and I was trying to keep up with what the standard was of a social token. So I think after about 6 months, we introduced a market to the first token, but I wasn't really involved in that process. I just knew it had a market and people can go on Uniswap and, you know, trade and, you know, purchase it in different, you know, exchanges were picking it up. It was on, still on CoinGecko, it's on Xeron. And at the height of it, maybe around 2020 and the 2021, the price was 29 cents, which was so cool to me. I remember I was really hooked on pricing. And I really was like, it was really like a personal thing for me. Every time somebody swapped the token, I took it personally.
literally has your name on it, right?
Yeah.
It has my name on it, man.
Right?
I thought it was like, man, they don't believe in me anymore. They don't like me. But and I was making some mistakes as well. But what happened was like once and right now the price is like 0.0017. And I kind of like came at terms with like the focus of First Token has two primary functions. But before I get to that, in regards to like that, I think that was it was a staking round that we were doing for 90 days.
Yeah.
And this is something that I wish I did earlier, because by the time I did this, it wasn't too many people who got involved in that staking round. It was like a perfect concept. It was really good. But, you know, my community wasn't too interested in it right now. Right. Bro, I've done it where we were doing things manually, like in 2019, where, when people would stake their tokens, I would have to make sure that, you know, manually each month I would give them first rewards for staking. So by the time we did that staking, the staking tool, that was automated, but some of my community has already been like in the manual stage. So it was successful in regards to like implementing it, but it wasn't too many people who were involved in it. So right now, like, I think I'll focus on pricing maybe like next year. But right now, the main focus is those two things. Like, we use it for like voting in the DAO. So if there's like proposals that I make, you know, they can go on Snapshot and they can vote. Or if some people want to make their own proposals, they have to have X amount of first, and then they can do that and people can vote. And it's all weighted, you know, based off the amount of first that you hold. And then the other function is first audio. So those two are the main functions. So 1,000 first you need to have to enter first audio. And then you just need to have any amount of first to, you know, vote or make proposals in the DAO. But I think I'm going to get back to staking because I created my token on Roll. Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with them, but
yeah.
So I started with them in 2019 in regards to creating a token for myself. And then I joined on probably 4 months ago. And they have some really, really great innovations around staking and this new concept called membership. So I'm probably going to utilize that tool because, you know, obviously since I'll be speaking about it to other creators, I'm going to be able to utilize it as well. But, you know, that's the long story to the question. Yeah.
That's great.
No, that's really cool. I really like to hear about the the kind of what people think of the technicals, you know, and obviously you take it personally, especially when it's the first time doing like putting your name on this thing. And people can buy and sell it, you know, of course there's going to be like, some learning about how to, you know, managing the emotions about the people investing in it or selling it or whatever. And, you know, obviously people are just going to do whatever and buy this and sell that and rebalance their crypto portfolio all the time. So one thing that I wanted to know, you're doing that whole... So with doing that project and doing a whole music career, producing the music that goes on your first audio, and managing the DAO, managing the social token, all that stuff. What does the team look like to support all of this? What do you mainly focus on who do you have around you to kind of do this? Or is it all just you? Are you just managing everything?
It's mostly all just me. And, I have different people that I partner with. Like there's people in my Discord who are my, you know, moderators, and, you know, admins. So they kind of help with sometimes when I need to do my daily, you know, first distribution each month.
Yeah.
And just making sure that I am sending out the amount of first tokens correct to the community. And then my music projects, you know, it's me and I, you know, I always partner up with different collaborators for certain songs, but it's all me. And I think that's why, you know, I'm still kind of like in this specific. Yeah, it's cool. But in order for me to get bigger, I will need to add more people because I've seen, you know, other communities where they do add more people. It gets bigger and it gets larger. But yeah, my main focus is always going to be music. Like that's always the main focus for everything because it fuels everything that I'm doing. I always have to make sure I have that at the forefront of what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's really cool. On the topic of your community, just maybe a question about the DAO. So you mentioned Snapshot. And so Snapshot, I actually found it, had a little look earlier today. It's the first time I'd seen it. Obviously, there's some big projects on there. We're talking Aave, even Uniswap, Decentraland, all use that platform. Could you, for those who are unaware, could you just sort of explain how you use it and what service it provides you and the DAO and the community and stuff like that?
You just use it for voting. It's mostly, you know, used for a voting system. So, you know, I'll use like Decentraland for example. Like when the market was extremely like bullish, the price of mana was like really high. And I think, you know, in order to mint and create a wearable collection, you have to have, you know, 500 mana. And that was like, you know, maybe around 2,000, 2,500 USD at the time when it was like a really bullish market. And then they put in a vote, you know, a proposal in the DAO. Should we lower the fee, you know, that we usually take to create a wearable collection? And then everybody just votes in there based off of how many mana they have, you know, awaits your vote. So that's like this, that's pretty much the same thing that we do with first on Snapshot. Gotcha. So I think it's tiered. Like you have to have 10,000 first tokens in order to make a proposal. If you don't have 10,000 first tokens, you can't make a proposal in the first DAO. But obviously if you have at least one first token, you can vote in the first DAO. So like one example that I did, because I remember I was torn between like my NFT projects. I remember one time I was like, if I have this song on Spotify, you will not see it as a NFT project. And then I used to say like, if it's an NFT project, this won't go on Spotify, because I thought if I separated the two, it would give the music just more unique value. Yeah. But then, you know, as time goes on, things change, ideas change. And then I put that as a proposal in, you know, my DAO on Snapshot. Literally, I wrote it up. You know, I said, would you like to see, you know, music that I mint as an NFT also on Spotify, or would you not want to see that? And people voted, and, you know, they spoke and they said, we want to see, you know, it's cool if it's on Spotify and also, you know, an NFT. Huh. And it kind of like opened my mind, and, you know, if my community wants that and they're, you know, they're also collectors, then I'll do that.
That's so cool. So I noticed, I think some of your stats on the main page about the token, I think you said there was like 300 holders or something, maybe a bit more, you could totally clarify, of the token. But then on Snapshot, there was a smaller number of people in that DAO. Is that because people need to physically go and sort of put themselves within that DAO, even though they could be, you know, they're applicable and eligible because they own the token, they just haven't gone and done it?
Exactly. So I think it's around 400 token holders right now, but you have to actually like go into Snapshot and, you know, log in to make yourself a voter.
Gotcha. Cool. And so just one question as we wrap up, and maybe this is like bringing it back to maybe even the start, which I think is kind of fun. SoundCloud, I think, is something you used early on. I don't know if you're still active on SoundCloud. A lot of musicians, it's really like a musician to musician platform, or people who are definitely like keen on music, because there's some terrible music on SoundCloud and there's some phenomenal music on SoundCloud. I guess my question was, I noticed that there was a project that you were a part of that was headed up by Pharrell Williams Company. And
I Am Mother.
I Am Mother. That's right. Mm-hmm. And could you talk a little bit about what that project was and how you came to be involved with it?
Yeah. Obviously, I think a lot of musicians, we were on SoundCloud like before, you know, during those weird times in streaming. And I like SoundCloud. Like the platforms that show me love, I show them love. Like I've been invited to, you know, Spotify's office in Stockholm. You know, I've been able to go to the SoundCloud office in Berlin, like the headquarters there. And they just showed me like immense amount of love. And I really loved the team there at the time. Right now, you know, some people left, so I don't know, man. But the way that came about was they pretty much wanted to, they were reaching out to certain artists in regards to mostly like Black and minority artists who can speak to a particular point, and especially what was going on in 2020, 2021 with a lot of police brutality and things of that nature. And I said, yeah, I would love to be a part of this because it's important. I don't think I've really been like attached to things that are culturally important. So I said, this is a time where maybe I could talk about this in the future with my kids. So I love that project. It's like a compilation between, you know, myself and other artists. and Pharrell, it was pretty much under Pharrell Williams' brand, I Am Mother. So that was a cool experience. And we had like a virtual meetup with all the artists, and we got to talk to SoundCloud about the project, our vision about it. You know, Pharrell Williams' A&R was on the call. And I think, you know, the I Am Mother brand also advertised. So it was a dope experience to do that, man.
That's really cool.
Basically, we've found out that you do festivals on Decentraland. You've got a new concept there, PFMs. You've got some really great stuff going on. You got First Token, Social Token. Check it out.
We've also got
First Audio. That's sick. Jump on it. Grab some. What about some
the
of
drops
that,
that are going to change the world? What about the drops that are going to change the world?
Sound.xyz. Is that it? Yeah. What else? We got your Twitter. You know, how can people find you? What are you most excited about? You know, giving the fans. Where do you want people to go?
Man, what am I most excited about? Well, if you type in Harrison First anywhere, usually you'll find me. I keep it simple, Harrison First. I usually get back to everybody on Instagram or Twitter DMs, but I'm just excited for all these projects that I have coming up. Like, just stay in tune. Like, I'm just trying to innovate. I'm trying to innovate, guys.
You've been nothing but absolutely awesome. So thank you so much for coming on. This chat has been so fun. Hopefully you've enjoyed it a little bit. Hopefully maybe you'll come back in, you know, 6 or 12 months and tell us what you've been doing. Maybe, crypto will be flying again by then and you won't have time for us. I don't know. We'll see.
Nah, man. I always have time.
Bro, thank you so much.
Lovely.
Thanks, guys. Peace.